Okay, so gotta be honest, keeping up with all the AI news, it's like drinking from a fire hose these days,
It
right?
really is, yeah.
But that's why we do these deep dives.
Right.
You're a chance to kind of cut through all that noise and get to the good stuff,
Get
the
exactly.
insights that really matter from all those articles and research you sent our way.
Absolutely.
And you guys definitely gave us a lot to unpack this time.
You do have a lot to cover.
From Microsoft, like what they're doing in the AI world, so super interesting, to even our good old Chromebooks. Can you believe it? Like, they're getting a total futuristic makeover.
Yeah, it's wild what's happening.
So speaking of Microsoft, can we just talk about their whole, like, discontinuing the HoloLens headsets? It just seems so strange to me, especially because it wasn't that long ago they were, like, all in on the metaverse.
Yeah, I mean, at first glance, it is kind of a head scratcher, but I think it really points to a much bigger shift for them.
You think so?
Yeah, like they're moving away from, like you said, that whole hardware-focused approach
Right.
and really diving headfirst into AI as a service. So think software platforms, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And I think you see this even more with the major Copilot upgrades, right?
Yeah.
And even those military contracts they got for these enhanced IVS headsets.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all kind of pointing in that direction.
Yeah, and actually, those Copilot upgrades, huge news. They
Yeah.
really stepped it up with the new redesign. I feel like they're going straight at OpenAI now.
Oh, for sure. It's getting competitive.
Especially with those voice command features and the visual recognition.
Oh.
And they even have that whole personalized, like, virtual news presenter thing now.
It's wild.
Which kind of reminds me, it feels like they might be taking some, like, inspiration maybe from Inflection AI's Pi Assistant with that whole card-based interface.
Yeah, definitely seeing some of that.
I mean, it's getting competitive, right?
It's really interesting to watch. I think this actually goes way beyond just adding cool new features.
Really?
Yeah, this is about a fundamental shift in how we're interacting with technology, how we're interacting with computers in general.
Oh, interesting.
And you can see Microsoft's betting big on a future where it's all about voice and visual cues, you know? That's how we'll be primarily engaging with technology.
Okay.
And the fact that they're even like incorporating elements from these smaller players like Inflection AI, I think shows they're really serious about staying ahead of the curve.
That's true. I mean, innovation really can come from anywhere, right?
Oh,
And
absolutely. It's
speaking of innovation,
you.
even our trusty Chromebooks, right?
I know, right?
They're getting in on the AI action. They're getting a dedicated AI key
Yeah.
on the keyboard.
I saw that. Wild.
Like, talk about the future is now kind of vibes, right?
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't actually, like, summon a robot assistant yet.
Not yet, but maybe someday, right?
Very.
But I think that dedicated key, honestly, is super symbolic, whether or not it like actually does a ton right now.
No.
It tells us that Google, I think, wants to make AI a core part of how we use these Chromebooks.
Oh, interesting.
Not just like an extra feature, you know what I
Yeah,
mean? Like
right.
it's really baked in.
Yeah.
Whether this actually makes AI more accessible, more useful for the average person,
That's a good point.
that remains to be seen, but it's a step. It's a step.
Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure. Well, and initially it does sound like the AI features on these new Chromebooks are going to be a little limited, at least at first. Like, no image generation yet, from what I've heard.
Yeah, not yet.
But Google's promising things like real-time translation and transcription,
Right.
which honestly could be incredibly helpful for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is exactly the type of development that we really need to be paying attention to right now,
Okay.
because it begs the question, you know, is this new wave of AI actually going to benefit a broad range of users?
Right.
Or is it just gonna, you know, further advantage those who already have access to the latest and greatest technology?
That is the question, isn't it?
It's something we have to keep asking for sure.
Okay, so kind of shifting gears a little bit here, but this whole pure AI situation, it's
Yeah.
really thrown like a wrench into this whole conversation about ethics in AI development.
Definitely.
In case anybody missed it, they basically got caught like copying another AI coding editor called Continue. And they even like tried to pass it off as their own work.
Bold move.
Not
Right.
exactly ethical.
No, not at all. And I think what makes it even more concerning
Right.
is that Pure AI had actually gotten funding from Y Combinator,
Right. Yeah.
which, you know, that's a big name in venture capital.
It's huge.
So this whole situation, it really shines a light on the fact that there could be like ethical blind spots in all this, you know, rush to invest in the next big AI
Oh,
thing.
totally.
When you're moving that fast, things slip through the cracks.
For sure.
And with AI, those oversights, they can have huge consequences.
It's true. It feels very like uncharted territory right now, you know?
Totally.
And speaking of navigating, like the AI frontier, California's attempt to set some ground rules,
Yeah,
it hit a bit of a snag.
it did.
Their AI safety bill, the one that would have brought those stricter regulations for companies like, you know, your OpenAIs and Googles of the world, got vetoed
Governor Newsom,
by
apparently.
Governor Newsom, yeah.
Interesting, though, because that bill, that was a big one.
It was a big deal.
I mean, it would have had such a big impact on Silicon Valley if it had gone through.
Huge.
Like, imagine mandatory safety tests
Wow.
for AI models before they can even be released to the public,
Yeah.
and companies could be held liable for any serious harm caused by their AI. That's
Yeah.
huge.
It's a big deal, yeah. And the crazy thing is, the opposition wasn't even just coming from the tech companies themselves. It was
Right.
like politicians, venture capitalists, you name it.
Right.
Everybody had an opinion.
Of course.
But it is important to note, it wasn't all like negative, right?
Right.
The bill did have some really big supporters.
Yeah, it's definitely
I
that.
mean, you had Elon Musk
Of course.
and like AI pioneer Geoffrey Hinton in his
Ugh.
corner, so that just goes to show how much like disagreement there is.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so important to understand like both sides here
Toru.
because people who were for the bill, they really felt strongly that, you know, the public needs to be protected from any potential harm.
Yeah.
They were worried about bias, discrimination, even like large-scale economic disruption, you know, all that. But then on the other hand, you have those who were against it, who were worried that, oh, these regulations are going to be way too strict. It's going to stifle innovation, put California's whole tech industry at a global disadvantage.
Right.
So it's tricky. No easy answers.
It's a tough one for sure. And like this conversation's not going away
No.
just because of one veto, right?
Really.
Speaking of navigating like tricky waters, did you see this whole thing with OpenAI and their like funding roller coaster?
Oh, yeah. Wild, right?
Crazy.
Talk about a roller coaster. They managed to snag a massive investment, though.
I know.
SoftBank, Microsoft, Thrive Capital. We're talking potentially $150 billion valuation.
It's insane.
But there's a plot twist.
Right.
Apple
Yeah.
decided to sit this one out.
Interesting. It's like even with all the hype, some of these big players are getting a little cautious.
Yeah, I think so. Being very strategic about where they put their money. But it definitely doesn't seem like the money's drying up anytime soon, though.
No, not at all.
The flow of cash into AI research and development, it's not slowing down.
Not even a little bit.
And it's not just these huge names either. Keep an eye out for companies like Liquid AI.
Liquid AI, okay.
They're doing something really interesting. They've developed something called LFMs, stands for Liquid Foundation Models. And basically, these things are challenging the dominance of the traditional transformer model.
Okay, I gotta be honest, that one went like completely over my head.
Really?
Like, why are these LFMs so special?
Okay, so imagine you have this crazy powerful engine, right?
Okay.
But it like guzzles gas. LFMs are kind of like figuring out how to get that same horsepower,
Yeah.
but way more fuel efficient.
Oh, okay.
So they're able to achieve comparable or even better performance than these older models,
Oh, wow.
but they can do it using way less computing power, which is
It is
huge.
huge, yeah.
Plus, they're built to handle much, much larger data sets, which is essential for complex tasks like language processing, understanding complex information, all that.
So it's like they found a way to make the AI engine faster and more efficient at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of innovation that's really fueling the rapid progress we're seeing across the board in AI.
That's amazing.
But it's not even just about the tech itself. It's also about like who has access to it and how it's actually being used
No,
globally.
right, yeah.
For example, Google is putting serious money, we're talking $1 billion, into AI and cloud infrastructure in Thailand.
Wow.
And then you've got ByteDance, you know, the company behind TikTok.
Right.
They're reportedly partnering with Huawei now to develop AI models using Huawei's chips.
It really does feel like everybody's trying to get in on the ground floor of this AI revolution, huh?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But I have to say, that ByteDance Huawei partnership, that one really like piques my interest. That seems like a really big deal.
Oh, it is. It speaks to all these geopolitical factors that are becoming more and more intertwined with AI development. You know,
Sure.
with all those restrictions on the chip exports from the US, you've got companies like ByteDance that are looking for other options to power their AI ambitions.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It just all highlights how tech, especially AI,
Yeah.
it's becoming like this key area of competition globally.
It's crazy how much there is to consider with this one topic.
I know, right?
We've gone from Microsoft changing up their whole strategy
Yeah.
to Chromebooks getting all like
All
futuristic
right.
to the ethical dilemmas with like AI cloning and then, regulatory battles, the whole quest for funding.
Yeah.
And now it's like geopolitical implications.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It really is. It just shows how fast AI is evolving, how big of an impact it's already having.
You're right, it's huge. It's kind of wild to see how these partnerships and all these investments are like shaping the whole landscape of AI development, you know?
Yeah.
But even with all this talk about advancement and progress, we still have things like that pure AI situation, which really brings up those ethical questions, right?
It does.
About AI cloning and like intellectual property.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that we can't forget about the ethical side of things as AI gets more and more advanced,
Totally.
especially with AI cloning. I mean, the line between getting inspiration from something and straight up copying
Right.
it can get really blurry, and I think pure AI really showed that.
That's true. It does feel like we're kind of in this like whole new era of tech development.
Yeah.
And with that comes a whole new set of challenges.
For sure.
So like, how do we even begin to make sure that AI is
Oh.
evolving responsibly, especially with how fast things are moving?
That's the million-dollar question, right? I think transparency is going to be huge,
Okay.
and we need it from everyone. Companies, researchers, governments, everybody.
Yeah.
We need those clear guidelines, those regulations, but they have to be flexible enough to keep up with all the changes.
Right, because it's moving so fast.
Exactly. But honestly, I think the most important thing is that we're having these open and honest conversations
Yes.
about both the good and the bad of AI, and we need everybody at the table for those conversations.
100%. It's easy to get caught up in the tech itself, but ultimately it's about us,
Yeah,
right?
always.
It's about how we're choosing to use it, how
Yeah,
we're developing it.
exactly.
And that kind of brings us back to something you mentioned earlier, that whole idea of accessibility. Like, how do we make sure these advances are actually benefiting everybody?
Right, such a good point. And that's where I think the conversation around digital equity becomes so important. We've got to make sure that everyone has access to the education, the resources, all of that
Right.
to actually participate in this like AI-driven future.
Otherwise, we're just like widening the gap, right?
Exactly. We could end up making existing inequalities even worse.
It's a lot to think about, but I think they're important questions. Like, we need to be asking these questions if we're serious about
We
this.
do,
Yeah.
because the future of AI, it's not set in stone. It's being shaped right now
That's a good point.
by the choices we're making, the conversations we're having, all of it.
So well said. And, for everyone listening, hopefully this deep dive gave you some stuff to think about, maybe sparked your own curiosity about AI and where it's going.
I hope so.
Because, as always, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and most importantly, keep the conversation going.
Absolutely.
Until next time.